In today's Mishnah, from the 5th and 6th Mishnah, from the 11th Perek of Masechta Yevamot, the Mishnah begins, Kohenet Shnitara Vlada Bevlad Shivchata. So a Kohenet, which is a woman married to a Kohen, and her child would be a Kohen himself. But however, her child got mixed up with the child of her Shivcha, of her maidservant, which would be effectively an Eved. So Mishnah says, Harei Ele Ochlim Betruma. So at the moment, since both the Kohen's Lady Truma, the child of the Kohen, and also the Shifra and her child Lady Truma, they can both continue to eat Truma. That they would have to present themselves together at the same time in order to receive one share from the Goren, meaning from the threshing floor, in order to take the Truma. Since there's a concern that either one might be the Kohen, they both are not allowed to become Tamemet, like a Kohen's not allowed to become Tamemet. Vein Nosim Nashim. At that moment, they're not allowed to marry anybody. Ben Ksheirot, Ben Psulot. Again, they can't marry Psulot because a Kohen can't marry a Pasul, and they can't marry Ksheirot because he might be an Eved and is not allowed to marry an Israel, Bas Israel. However, Higdilu Tarovot, once they both grow up, Veshichru Adzer Adzer, what they would do, they both free each other. Meaning, well, they both got a suffix whether one is really the Kohen and the other one is his Eved. So what they would do is each of them would effectively free the other, and that would make whichever one was the Eved now a Ben Chorim, effectively like an Israel. So in this situation, both of them now can nosim nashim, then able to both get married. However, they have to get married to only someone that a Kohen can marry, Ra'ui l'Kohuna, because there's a concern that each one might be the Kohen. Veinu matam l'meitim, and they continue in that state where they're neither allowed to come into contact with a corpse or tuma emanating from a corpse. Veim nitamu, if they, however, did become tameh, and deliberately so, they were forewarned, the Mishnah says, actually, ein sof gine tarabayim, we can't give them malkut, because we don't know. The one that did become tameh, they might actually be the freed Eved or the Israel, and there's no prohibition applying to them. Veinu ochlim b'truma, neither of them are allowed to eat truma. Veim achlu, if they happen to eat truma by mistake, then they ain't meshalmim karen v'chomesh. Normally, if someone who's a non-Kohen eats truma by mistake, they have to pay both the principal value and an additional chomesh, which is an extra 25% of the value. However, in this situation, since each of them can say, well, I'm the Kohen, prove I'm not, then we can't motzi mamon misafek, we can't extract money based on a doubt that they might not be the Kohen. Vein cholkinet al ha-goren, they're not able to take truma from the goren, from the threshing floor. However, umochrin et ha-truma, but the truma that they separate themselves, they will be able to sell it to a Kohen, v'hadamim shelahem, and the money they'll be able to keep. Once again, that is because each of them could have the claim, look, I'm a Kohen, it belongs to me, prove it to me otherwise. Ve'en cholkin bekodshei hamikdash, they wouldn't be able to take the parts of the korbanot that are given to the Kohanim, for example, the hides that are given to the Kohanim of the various offerings. Ve'en not nin lahem kodoshim, they also don't give them korbanot to offer, because again, each of them might not be the Kohen. Ve'en motzin shelahem miadan. There are different opinions exactly what this means. One understanding is it means that their korbanot, that their chayv to bring, say, chatat asham, olah, or the like, we don't obligate them to give it to anshei ha-mishmar, rather, because if they're kohen, they can bring themselves, rather they can give it to any kohen they like to offer, again, because they might be a kohen. And another understanding is that if a bechor was born, meaning a bechor animal, we don't take it from them, because each of them say, look, I'm a kohen, I can keep it.
Upturim min hazroa min ha-lechayim u min ha-keva. They are exempt from the zroa is a front foreleg, lechayim is the jaw, and the keva is the stomach. Now, these are the parts of an animal when it's shechted. They're meant to be given to the kohanim as a gift. These are the one of the matanot kohuna. But once again, since it's a suffix whether these individuals, this person, is really a kohen or not, therefore, we have the principle, once again, of motzim mechavaro ala varaya, that if you want to extract funds from someone, the burden of proof is on you to extract it. And since no one can prove that these individuals are not kohanim, therefore we can't obligate them to give these gifts to kohanim.
Ubechoro, and their own bechor, what they have to do is that yeroe ad sheistaev, they have to wait till it develops a mum. Once it develops a mum, a blemish, then even Israel will be allowed to eat from the animal. If it really did belong to Israel, he'd have to give it to a Kohen, but in this situation, once again, since the question is only a monetary one, each of these individuals can keep it because they're suffic whether a Kohen or not. Notnim alav chomrei Kohanim v'chomrei Israelim. We apply both stringencies applied to a Kohanim and Israelim. So what the Mishnah is teaching us is what this applies to the laws of a mincha offering. If a mincha, which is a meal offering, flour offering, if an Israel brings a flour offering, what happens is they take a small kemitza, they take three fingers full, that is often the mizbeach, and the rest is given to the kohanim. If it's a mincha offering of a kohen, kemitza is not performed, the entire thing is burnt. So we have to apply both chumras. meaning that we take kamitza, a small amount, and only that part is offered, because it might just be a mincha of in Israel. You can't offer the whole thing. However, the leftovers are not consumed by the kohenim, because it might be that this person's a kohen and really the whole thing should be burnt. So what happens to the remainder? The remainder is burnt on the Beit HaDesha. Let's now learn Mishnah Vav. It says, Mi shelo shahata achar ba'ala shlosha chodashim. So a woman who got married too quickly after she was either divorced or widowed from her husband. V'niset v'yalda, and she gave birth to a child. Now the problem is, because she became pregnant soon after she got married to the second husband, well, she presented herself as being pregnant, but she didn't wait long enough. We don't know whether this child is really a child of the first husband or the second. So Mishnah says, Hayu lo bani min harishon min hasheni, if there were sons from both the first and second marriage, and this individual, this ben, which is a suffix from family one or family two, passed away without having children, both of the banim, both of the children from each of the families have to do chalitza, but they could not do yibum. Because again, yibum, the mitzvah of yibum, only applies for brothers from a common father. And since we don't know whether this boy has a common father from the first or second marriage, therefore neither of them can do yibum. However, they both have to do chalitza because there's a suffix if the brothers from family one or family two are the brothers that require chalitza. So she would require chalitza for both. V'chen hu lahem. Likewise, if the brothers from family one and or family two pass away, he would have to do chalitza, choletz, v'lom b'yamber. He would do chalitza to them out of a suffix that he might have the obligation to do chalitza. However, he could not do yibum because he might not be brother from a common father and only brother from a common mother. And in that situation, he would not be able to marry this lady. Hayu lo, if he had achim min harishon va'achim min hasheni, shelo me'ato ha'em. So what this means is if family number one and family number two, there were other brothers, but not from that mother that we had the suffix about, but rather from a different mother. So therefore, what the Mishnah says, hu choletz u'me'abem. What this means is he can do chalitza or yibum for either side. That is because either he is indeed brothers from a common father with a family or family one, and therefore chaytu yibum chalitza, or if not, if his father is really from the second marriage, then he doesn't share a common father or mother with the brothers in the other family. So therefore, for example, if there are no other brothers left from that first family, such that if this suffix brother wasn't really required to yibum, she could marry anybody else, then in that situation, since if he didn't have a common mother or father with that man who passed away, he could marry anyway. That's why we say he could do chalitza or yibum. Vehem, and likewise, the brothers from family A and family B, or family 1 and 2, that in the situation where this suffix person passed away, one would do chalitza, another one would do yibum. That is because in that situation, only the children from one of the families is actually obligated to do yibum or chalitza, because they'd have a common father either with family one or family two. But the boys from the other family would not be related to him really at all. They wouldn't have a common father or common mother with him. Consequently, one family, boys, the brothers from one family would do chalitza, and if he was chayv to do chalitza, he's free to marry who she pleases. Therefore, the brothers from the other family, as we said, they're not really related, so they could simply marry her. Or, once the boys from the first family did chalitza, and they didn't need to, it was meaningless, therefore, the boys from the second family are doing yibum k'mitzvata, as they were really required to do. Those are the Mishnah today.